Then I looked up a bunch of words, and this is going to be a short message. Now, this is a believer's mother's wish for her children. A believer's mother's wish for her children is based on if. Now, one of the main advantages I found in studying the Greek language was that there's such a thing as a conditional if and a non-conditional if. And it's very important to know the difference, because if you don't know the difference, you're liable to misinterpret a scripture. And so I finally learned the difference, and I want you to know what it is. I'm not trying to be technical. I just want you to know what the difference is. Mothers have a very special love for their children. Husbands don't have it because they didn't carry them in their stomach for 9 months or so, or less. And a mother's love, when God took Eve out of Adam's side, the word translated rib is side. And that's why we still have the same number of ribs on both sides. He just took her out of Adam, out of her side, out of his side. Doesn't mean that God is a transsexual. Doesn't mean that. It just means that God took Eve out of Adam, and she was a part of his internal makeup psychologically and in reality. A woman's love is different for a man's from a child. Now, men love their children, and men look and love their wives, and they can love their children, but it's never like a mother's love. And so I understand that now completely, having been married for 57 years, and I love my children very much, but I can't love them like her mother, like their mother loved them, and neither can you as a man. But if you love your wife, love her because she loves your children like you can't love them, and love her because she tries to please you. I'm not talking about sexually or anything like that. She tries to find out what you like. And I talked about this in the Sunday school lesson and how that all goes, and I'm not going to bother you with that. Now, if in Strong's Stronger, that means the super Strong's, it's number 1437. The word is in. It's 1509. It's akin to 1509 in the Strong's. Usually used in general conditions or in conditions that imply some doubt. It's a conditional if. Now, many of the promises in God's Word where if is used, it's just an absolute. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. And there's sometimes it's used, and it depends on what follows the if or what the if implies. Now, if, 1437, in, formed by combining, that's pronounced as A, E-I, 1487, that is a conditional particle denoting supposition, a wish, a possibility, or uncertainty. So every time you see the word save or saved in the Bible, it doesn't always mean to save like you save the soul. It has a lot of meanings. It's primarily transmitted as to save the soul, but it also is used in implying to save your life after you've been saved, and your works follow you to heaven, and you are building up treasures for yourself in heaven by submitting to Christ. So this is a complicated subject, and it's the reason I went back to the seminary. I was raised out in the bush where you had to go through a creek, had a rock bottom, and where most of the preachers preached from behind the plow, and they didn't preach what they didn't understand, and I thank God for that. They preached a lot of fire and brimstone, and I thank God for that, because it certainly scared the pants off of me, and I was saved right where I was sitting, because I finally figured out I couldn't save myself, and I just trusted Jesus. Now, in any case, and I asked him to save me, but here I am. Now, we're going to take a look. The labor pains of a believing mother will be worth it if, this is conditional, if her wish for her children to grow up as model Christians is fulfilled, her birth pains have been worth it all. I discovered when I was in Vietnam, when we were engaged in any kind of combat, men are mama's boys. And World War II brought that out even more vividly than it did to me over there. When somebody was shot, the first, they didn't say, "Daddy," they said, "Mama." And men are mama's boys, most of them. They're mama's boys, most of them. I'm a mama's boy. I'm a mama's boy, and I admit it. And my mother has a very special relationship with her child. And as a father, if she has that relationship, and if she cares what happens to her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren, you have every reason to be thankful for her. And the Bible indicates that in the Garden of Eden, after they fell, Adam was told what was going to happen to him, and Eve was told by God, "And thy desire shall be toward thy husband." So I told him before class, and made a class case to show it, that wives, if you really want to, if you're going to marry somebody, find out from their mother what he likes, and then find out how she makes it, and then you won't have him telling you that this is better than mom's, and hurting your feelings. Some wives get their feelings hurt because husbands say, "Well, my mother makes better shortcake than this." I didn't know that when I got. But see, if she really wants to do well, a woman will find out from the mother what the son likes, and she'll try to cook what she has. And she may even ask him for the recipe. You don't have to tell him that. But if you make it like his mother and he liked it, well, that's great. So the desire is to please your husband. And that's not talking about particularly a sexual relationship. If you marry for a sexual relationship, you're making a big mistake. You marry because the woman loves you and because she tries to please you, because you know what she wants? She wants a man who will be the father of her children. You don't look at it like that. You look at her legs. I'm not going to mention anything else. You check her out. She's got a pretty face. And if she's got a nice personality, you check that out. But you don't think, "I want this woman to bear my children." But she thinks about you as the man who's going to bear her children. And she picks you out on that basis. I didn't know that, but I found out after 57 years. That's why I thought she picked me out, because I was good looking. But my Lord, you know, that's no reason to pick out a man. I was so stuffed up with myself, it was pathetic. But I guess Jesus saw somebody that she wanted to bear her children, and I think God may have put it in her heart. In any case, here I am. So there's lots of things that you can do to please your husband, and the greatest thing is to raise your children in the admonition of the Lord. And I talked a lot about this in Sunday school, but I'm not going to keep you over here this morning. Now, the labor pains of a believing mother will be worth it if her wish for her children to grow up as model Christians is fulfilled. Her birth pangs will have been worth it all. This is a post-delay. It's something that happens. She wants, if a Christian mother, say a believing mother, wants her children to grow up to worship and serve God. She wants them to go to church. She wants them to grow to love God. She wants her husband to raise the children, be a good father to them. That's what she wants. And I will say, in Patrick's case and in Chuck's place, you fellas either lucked out or you made a great decision. I don't know which. But your wife married you because you were the one. And sometimes people marry for a whole very different reasons. And so I'm very proud of this church. I can look out there right now, and everybody out there that I know, they had a mother that loved them and raised them, or they raised their children that way, or had a grandmother that raised them. In any case, I'm telling you that you need, as a woman, to try to find out what delights your husband, what he likes to eat, and what he put up with his problems. When he comes in and unloads on you and all his problems and the things that are going on at work, just sit there and smile and say, "Oh, yes, dear, I understand." And just go ahead, you know. Don't jump on him because he's got all these problems. Just listen to him. And that's really what a man usually wants. And if he blames you for something you weren't guilty, don't get in a fist fight with him, because you might win. And then what are you going to do? You won't have a husband anymore. So the truth of the matter is, I love this church, and I love every one of you, and the reason I love this church is because God first loved me. That's the reason. It's the only reason. And I sure love it now. I didn't when I first came up here. Man, I thought, oh, good grief. But I discovered the problem was me. It wasn't the church. It was me. So here I am. And I'm trying to tell you, after 57 years, what a woman really wants. She wants a man that raises her children the way they're supposed to be raised. If she's a Christian mother, if she's a believer. And you ought to love her for that. And you ought to tell her every once in a while, I sure am glad you raised the kids this way. And if you have a relationship where you're raising the children together, and the man is the head of the household, I mean, he may not be as smart as you are, but if you're smarter than he is, you ought to not let him know it and go ahead and just listen to him, and then maybe you can work it out together. It works that way. My wife is much smarter than I am. You say, well, you power squared, and you know, and you can do all that math, that stuff with meteorology and all that stuff. My wife was a lot smarter than I was. A person that's smart learns how to love people and learns how to be kind and gentle and loving toward her husband. And it broke me. It was, I like a broken horse. She didn't have to get on me and ride me to break me. She just did it with love. And that's what a woman has to learn to do. And before she marries, she ought to think about that. But in any case, that's something even after you get married, you need to know it anyway. Now, the word study of a believing mother will be worth it if her wish for her children to grow up Christians is fulfilled. Her birth pains will have been worth it all. Ladies, don't you think that's true? You remember how hard it was for those children? Imogene had a small pelvis, and man, it was extremely painful for her. But in any case, saved, 4982. Now, this is something that's very important. That's the word sozo. It, most of the time, it means to save. It means either to save the soul or to save the life by living like Christ wants after you're saved. But it also means to preserve. It's translated preserve. It also means to rescue. And it's in the Bible, and it's translated that way. So this is something that happened to you. You're preserved in Christ. You were rescued by Christ. It means to deliver, and it's translated that way. Or to be right, to be in the right, or with the implication that the condition before salvation was one of danger or distress. Now, a lot of times, when I was raised out in the country, and I just thought save meant to save the soul. That's all I knew. But I went back to school because I got to looking and I thought, now wait a minute, that's not always translated to save the soul. There's lots of things God saves in your life. That's got lots of things in there. And save, what does it mean? Deliver? It means to preserve? It means all those things. So I very carefully checked the scriptures before I preached to you. Now that comes from Strong's Stronger. Now this one is Burn, and this is from Strong's Stronger. Pyroclastic, you know, I'm always talking about pyroclastic material from a volcano. It means to burn, but it means inwardly. I never interrupted the teachers in Arkansas Tech because I had lived long enough to know don't embarrass a teacher. Well, this one teacher who was a nice man, and I didn't think I'd embarrass him, but he kept telling people that scripture indicated in the Bible that if you didn't bear a lot of children, you would go to hell. And I let him do it for quite a while, and finally I knew, I figured I'd get an F, but I didn't care. I told him in a very nice way, that means to burn inwardly, the words used. And so that's talking about an inward lusting. And I suppose women have it too. I don't know. I'm not a woman, but you lust. And it may be for a man. It may be for something else. It may be for anything. In any case, Strong's Exhaustive Concordant, it means to burn, but it means to be burned inwardly. That's number 4448, Strong's Stronger. That's why we had those classes here at night, and that's why we looked up all the words. And so I want you to know that when we were going through that, we were showing you what the words meant and why the scripture should be interpreted according to the Word of God, which was written in Koine Greek, Chaldea, and also written in Hebrew. Paul wrote following to church members on marriage. You don't have to go to school to learn this. You can get books. I can recommend books to you. Probably give you books that you can just look them up for yourself. You don't have to go to seminary. And they've come out with so many books on this, anybody can figure it out. Even a Marine can figure this out. Even a Marine can figure this out, Charlie. There's some hopes for you. And so there's some hope for you if you're a Marine. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:14, 15. And Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. He wanted the woman. You say, well, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have decided. Yes, you probably would have, and I would have. I'd have picked the woman. You say, well, I wouldn't have. Well, I wouldn't, knowing what I know now, but back then, I would have picked the woman. You say, well, no. Yeah, don't rate yourself so highly. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. It says, even though she was deceived, she was in the transgression. She said, he said, now that doesn't deliver the woman from it. She sinned too. And he's not saying it's a little less sin than Adam. He's not saying that. He's just telling you that Adam wasn't fooled by all this. And when he saw the condition that she was in, he still wanted her. Notwithstanding, that's a big long word. It says, even though Adam was not deceived, even though she was deceived, notwithstanding, he said, in spite of that, she shall be saved in childbearing. There's that word again. So what does it mean? It can mean to save, preserve, rescue, deliver, or be right, with the implication that before salvation was one of danger. It also means a wish. But it's the if there is conditional. Something has to happen that will cause her not to regret all that she went through to bring that child in the world. What does a Christian woman want? What does a believer want? She wants her children to grow up and continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That's what she wants. Well, when Mike was young, I told Imogene one time, I said, that boy's either going to end up in a penitentiary or he's going to be president. I don't know which. And sorry, son, but that's the way it was. And Candy, I said, boy, you know, I don't know. But we went through a lot with our kids. And Imogene just sat there and talked to him. She was nice to him. And I chewed him out. I did everything under the sun. I wasn't a good father. I admit it. I'm sorry. If they continue, So how's she going to be saved from the pain and agony? How's she going to have her wish? I showed you up there what it meant. Wish. How's she going to have her wish fulfilled? Listen, if you think having a hurt arm or a broken arm or something like that is bad, it's nothing compared to what a woman has to do. Oh, my goodness gracious, it's a horrible pain. The only thing perhaps even remotely actually associated with it is what they call kidney stones. If they continue, okay, what happens if she has a child and he grows up and robs banks, kills people, is a pervert and whatever else? Man, listen, she's wondering sometimes, maybe it would have been better if I didn't have him. No, she still loves him. But if you want a woman to have her wish fulfilled, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, that's a woman's responsibility to teach her children that as they grow up. Imogene taught them that. I was gone most of the time. But I wasn't gone because I wanted to be gone. I loved it here. And I had intended to come up here and pastor this church and to go to Arkansas Tech, become a school teacher. I already had enough credits, and I went back and took some more from Arkansas Tech so I could meet Bill Clinton and Hillary's requirement. And so I was perfectly going. I was just going to stay here forever. God put me out on this trail I went out on, and I never complained. I just went ahead. I never complained because it's what I was supposed to do, and I knew it. And I went ahead and I did it. She raised these kids. She raised them. And she taught them all this. So my job as a father was easy. But I had a legitimate excuse. I think God never bothered me about it. He just kept me going. And he gave me her because she knew what she was doing with children. And quite frankly, I was practically beat to death. I don't want to tell you all that. She will be delivered from the distress of her childbearing if they do grow up and continue in the true faith she accepted from God's word. She delivered it to her offspring, and if they followed it, her wish was fulfilled, and her wish made the birth pangs worth it all by the grace of God. You got a woman like that? You just thank God for her every time you pray at night or whenever your favorite time for praying. Thank God for her. And if you've got a husband that genuinely married you because he wanted to have a woman that could bear his children and would raise them properly, thank God for her every day. Because I did after I got to know Imogene, but thank God for her. And in this church, I honestly believe I know people they put together. And I have done some marriages that were perfectly legitimate and everything else, but I felt like they're not going to make it. Oh, once in a while I got delighted and they made it. So it's not a matter of human judgment. It's a matter of taking time to know who you marry and who you're going to not marry. You say, well, what am I going to do now? Let me tell you exactly what to do and make it plain and simple. Forgetting those things that are behind, I don't care what your past was. I don't care. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. You say, well, what is that? You keep coming to church down here, and you'll finally find out this is what God wanted from me all along. So don't feel yourself some kind of a poker flat outcast. I love every one of you the same. I know your history. I know everything there is to know about you. And I admire you. And I love you. You say, well, why do you love us? You're here. You wouldn't be down here if God hadn't brought you down here. I'm not that all a pleasant preacher to listen to. I realize that. But I have to do what I've called. I'm not making excuses for it. But this is something that the Bible indicates about women. And it also indicates things about men. Father's Day is coming, so I'll try to preserve a little for that. Okay. Paul wrote the following to church members on marriage. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. She will be delivered from the stress of her childbearing if they do grow up and continue in the true faith she accepted from God's word. She delivered it to her offspring, and if they followed in her wish was fulfilled and her wish made the birth pangs worth it all. Those who never marry also may have God's good way. So you never been married? Don't worry about it. 1 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows. Are you a widow? Don't worry about it. For it is good to them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. That's not a general rule. That's just what it is. That's why I'm always telling you, don't get married. Because marriage is a gamble. You say, well, I don't want to gamble. Okay, learn all about them. Learn and be around them long enough to know what kind of temper they got, to find out whether they need you or whether they love you. And when you do, it'll be a whole lot better for you afterwards. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it is. God has a plan for the lives of both men and women. Mothers teaching the following to their children as they live it before them are a great blessing to their children and husbands. I don't see anybody out there that I don't think is living their life before their children. Some of you have your children here with you. I don't see a person out there that I would say, well, you know, they don't live it before their children. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You say, are you talking to me? Yes. Or rather, this is. I tell you, you got them here. You're trying to raise them right. You make mistakes just like Imogene and I did. And you need God's assistance. You need God's help. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Desire to do what for your children what you want. But you got them here. Or they may be at home. And you want them to grow up and be like this. I got no bone to pick with you. That's your choice and that's your decision. I don't put anybody down on that. And I think every woman out here understands this. And I got no bone to pick with anybody. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You mothers sitting out there, you came. And God gives your soul rest when you begin to realize how permanent it is and how it cannot be lost. You want to know how to raise your children? I didn't learn that till I came up here. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I wasn't like that. You say, well, you preach too hard. I have to. Because I'm meek and lowly in heart toward God, and that's what He wants. And that's what I try to do. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. So happy Mother's Day. And I tell you what, it's now 10 minutes till. And Chita, you pray a prayer. Oh, you're liable to pray a long prayer. But I'll call on you anyway. Would you dismiss us?